May your faith in our Lord be made strong and stronger as you grow in faith each day in all that we face in these times in our nation. May you experience blessing in this time today. We have an affirmation of our faith each time we gather together at Daleville Christian Church, and from God's Word today, it is Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. It's often the proclamation of our faith we use when there's a baptism. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. The reading of God's Word today is simply one verse from Mark's Gospel in the 11th chapter, the 25th verse. Jesus is speaking. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. Again today, we want to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness in a pandemic. Why? Because a pandemic presents the followers of Jesus with a whole different set of situations in need of forgiveness. And because I'm trying to preach biblically and I'm trying to preach meeting today's problems with the Bible, the media are providing you and I with plenty of examples of what we need to talk about. So last time, we covered some basics on forgiveness. Forgiveness is important. Forgiveness is essential to the good news of Jesus because it is, as we just stated in our affirmation of faith, by God's grace that we are saved. By God's grace, we are forgiven our sins through Jesus. Another affirmation of faith we have used from Ephesians chapter 2, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. We've also used 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. You and I, we are forgiven our sins through Jesus the Messiah. Messiah and Christ being the same word. We are forgiven our sins through Jesus the Christ by our God, the Heavenly Father. And when Jesus was born, you can check that in Matthew chapters 1 and 2. Joseph, Jesus' stepdad, was told in a dream, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And this same Jesus who saves us from our sins, providing forgiveness for our sins, this same Jesus calls us to forgive one another, and more than once. Jesus calls us to forgive one another. Gosh, why would Jesus have to mention that we need to forgive others more than once, or even more than seven times? And unlike any number of other things that Jesus said, Jesus repeated Jesus' instructions to us to forgive others. Jesus told us more than once that we are to forgive others more than once. Jesus told us more than once that we are to forgive others more than once. I've been insisting that this pandemic, by its very nature, requires us to exercise forgiveness. We know a bit more science about COVID-19 than we knew in 1918 for the flu pandemic. Still, we don't know as much as we want to know about COVID-19, but we do know there's no doubt that the coronavirus is an odd duck. You might not have symptoms, but you can still have the virus. You don't feel sick, but you are able to pass the disease along to others. And the ones you pass the disease to, they might wind up in the hospital, even if you never were, and they might even die. The coronavirus is thought to spread mainly from person to person. Person to person. That means someone or someone's are to blame. We're supposed to track this virus so we can stop the person from infecting others. The problem is that one infected person goes to a party, 9 people come out infected. That's why it's called a contagion. It does not so much spread person to person, it's spread person to persons. Person to persons. Those 9 people infect 9 people each. So in 12 hours, you go from one case to 82 cases of coronavirus. You might say our forgiveness is always going to be a little behind those who shared the infection. So why is forgiveness difficult in this pandemic? Well, let's look at another area of public health to understand our own forgiveness problem in the pandemic. We as a nation have decided that alcohol consumption and alcohol abuse are a public health problem. We have laws to protect ourselves or try to protect ourselves from injury or death from those who use alcohol. Here's a disturbing statistic. In 2016, more than 1 million drivers were arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol or narcotics. But 111 million people admitted that they did drive drunk in 2016. So we stopped 1 million impaired drivers. We left 110 million drivers on our streets and highways. The result? About 10,000 Americans died in drunk driving accidents that year and every year. Every year, 10,000 people die from the very same problem. Every year, 10,000 of us die from drunk drivers. In 2018, it was 10,500. Now, 10,000 deaths out of 110 million drunk drivers, that's not bad statistic, is it? But the 10,000 killed weren't always the driver. You knew that. 1,200 of those killed in 2018 were children, killed by an impaired driver. And all 10,000 died needlessly by someone else's impaired driving. I could give you more statistics, but the point is we have laws and punishments for those who drive while impaired. They're supposed to lose their licenses, which doesn't stop some people. Some go to jail or not. Some drunk drivers didn't kill anyone the first time they had an automobile accident until they go back out and drive drunk and kill someone. So we have advocacy groups, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, MAD. And there's SAD, Students Against Drunk Driving, which has changed its name to be more inclusive of the problems, Students Against Destructive Decisions. Here comes the Christian part, Christians. followers of Jesus. There are stories, some dramatic, of the family members who are called to forgive the drunk driver that killed their family member. Do you see the similarity to the pandemic? Like an impaired driver, those impaired drivers are risky, taking risks, risking their health and life with the alcohol or drugs. Then they get in a vehicle and begin to risk your life and health on our streets and highways. How many 110 million were not stopped in 1 year? 10,000 people died. What about permanent disability? Concussion, brain damage, loss of limb or sight. We Americans have decided alcohol consumption is a public health issue. Today, in this pandemic, everyone gets to decide their own risk level. The governor of Kentucky recently begged the citizens of Kentucky to stop going to the beaches in the South because they're bringing the virus back to Kentucky and the number of sick and dying in Kentucky keeps going up. Going to the beach increases your risk, and going to the beach increases the risk of everyone around you when you come back home to family and work. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there are already lawsuits across our nation. Nursing homes are getting sued. Nursing home staff are being sued. Were they not careful enough with the coronavirus? Were they negligent? But we can ask the question of each other. I suggest we ask ourselves before someone points the finger at us. I don't imagine that the members of the Warrior Creek Missionary Baptist Church near Strawberry, Alabama, I don't think they would file suit against their own church. But what about any visitors to that church? I spoke about this church last week. They held revival every day, several times a day in their church sanctuary, and people got sick with coronavirus. As far as I know, so far, no one has been hospitalized. The pastor said they all knew what they were doing. Everyone decided their own risk factors, and they all got sick. The pastor said, "I've got church members sick everywhere." And that pastor isn't going anywhere. The pastor got sick also. I trust that all the members can forgive the pastor or the committee who decided to hold a revival during a pandemic. Meeting every day, multiple times a day, inside one room, without masks required. I trust the pastor can forgive himself for endangering his whole congregation. I trust that the congregation can all forgive each other. But that's a lot of forgiveness that needs to go on at the Warrior Creek Missionary Baptist Church near Strawberry, Alabama. I had to ask myself, as pastor of Daleville Christian Church, as we came close to coming back together last June, what if someone gets sick after we come back together? Will I be able to handle it? I could have stopped it. Because would I be able to forgive myself if one of you got sick? I went to the elders before my vacation and I said, bringing another preacher in here to preach for me while I'm on vacation increases the visiting preacher's risk of infection, and bringing a preacher in to preach for me from somewhere else increases the congregation's risk of infection. I don't want to do that, but I do need a vacation. Even if all I do is stick my feet in a kiddie pool and sit under the hose in my backyard, I need a vacation. But in this case, I had my beach webcam on every day. Sometimes it can be hard to forgive a pastor. In my own experience, often Christians can forgive the pastor, but they cannot reconcile with the pastor. The relationship is over. If Warrior Creek Church congregation members need to forgive all the members of the church, Will they also be able to reconcile, or will they all have to find another church home? You see, friends, we often think of Jesus' call to forgive as forgiving one person in one situation. In a pandemic, we may need to forgive a whole lot of people. In the case of the drunk driver, victim families may need to forgive one person who took too many risks, but we're faced with a whole lot of people taking a whole lot of risks. Can we forgive them? And in the case of people who take a lot of risks, many are not going to ask for forgiveness. Will we be able to forgive them? School is starting. We're not even sure that the kids that young can be careful enough, and teachers and staff know that. What if your child or grandchild is sent home to quarantine because the child they sit next to tested positive? Who wasn't careful? Is someone to blame? Can we forgive? Since this virus is mostly person to person, it can still remain anonymous. We don't know who infected who. But since the virus is mostly person to person, the forgiveness will need to be personal. Friends, we pray every day that no one we know will be called to deal with the worst symptoms of this virus. But none of us decides that. We do know that the virus is personal. I, as a pastor, have wanted to prepare you not for so much a physical challenge of the coronavirus, but the spiritual challenge of the coronavirus. With a reliance on the power of God, with assurance of our own forgiveness in Jesus Christ, are we ready to deal with the spiritual challenges of this very public menace, the coronavirus pandemic? Now in its sixth month for most of us, and now no sign of letting up in our country. Our Lord Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." And our Lord also said, "When you stand praying, when you are praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." And Jesus demonstrated such forgiveness on his own cross of crucifixion, where we read that when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." To this prayer of Jesus, can we all say amen? Let's look at some real-life examples. Some of you may have read about these. This report is out of Pittsboro, North Carolina. I know where that is. At a funeral home, two different services, they don't even know for sure how many people were at the two events, but 10 people who were there tested positive, with maybe 300 to 350 people combined for the events. Masks were required, masks were provided. Were they worn? Did everyone keep their distance? We don't know. This situation might be easier to forgive because it was a funeral and a memorial service. Why do I need to talk about this? Because we love to play the blame game. How do I know that we love to play the blame game? Because I read the Bible. Book 1, Genesis, first book in the Bible, chapter 3, don't get too far in the Bible without some truth-telling. Chapter 3, God asked Adam, "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What's this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Adam was saying, "Look, Lord, everything was fine till you brought her here. Then she said that we should have more fruit in our diet, and she said, here, we haven't tried this fruit. I don't know why. It's been in the middle of the garden since day one. And then Eve told me, Adam, I've been told this fruit is really good, even though it's out of season. So God looks over at Eve, and she tries to point the finger at the other talking creature in the garden, the serpent. Friends, if we as followers of Jesus are going to play the blame game, we're going to have to play the forgiveness game. And most of us don't like to play the forgiveness game. So we could save ourselves some trouble, and most of us could save ourselves a lot of trouble if we would stop blaming other people. But if others did despitefully use you, as Jesus said, we pray for them and we forgive them. A woman in Texas whose husband died of the coronavirus in July wrote in her husband's obituary that his death was caused by the President of the United States and the Governor of Texas. Friends, pretty far-fetched, I would say. But clearly, someone in that situation needs to forgive someone in that situation. Two more true life examples, and we'll call it a day and get to the work of practicing forgiveness. This one out of New York City, August 3rd this year. Owners of a New York City party boat took 172 guests out on a cruise that the group had rented. Now, friends, I don't suppose you'd be surprised to know that alcohol was served on that boat. Never mind that the article didn't even mention masks or social distancing. The party boat owners didn't have a city liquor license to serve alcohol on the party boat. And the group gathering? That party was in violation of New York City emergency coronavirus regulations. Somebody's going to need to forgive somebody in that situation. Okay, West Coast, Los Angeles. California's current stay-at-home order prohibits social gatherings. Again, this time in the city of Los Angeles, a facility was rented for the purpose of a private party. No one could be seen in surveillance video keeping social distancing. But that's not the worst thing. Because gunfire broke out, three people were shot and one person died. So we do not yet know how many coronavirus cases might come out of those two gatherings, but we do see that there's plenty of room for forgiveness. Let's assume that someone in one of the families of the partygoers is a Christian, trying to follow Jesus. Don't they have to forgive the businesses that rented the facilities for the purpose of a social gathering, contrary to city ordinance? Won't they need to forgive the loved one or loved ones who attended the parties? Won't they need to forgive the person with the gun who started shooting? That's a lot of forgiveness to exercise in just one or two events. Jesus himself told us more than once that you and I will need to forgive others more than once. Jesus said, "And when you stand praying, when you are praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Amen.